This is Alex once again with another episode of the EOT Newsflash. This is episode 82, You're Just Not That Special Anymore. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit on why that is. Trust me, it's a doozy. Tonight, though, it's a solo show, obviously, schedules being what they are. Makes me give my full attention to you and nobody else, so good for me and good for you. And tonight is all about Ixalan spoilers. We are fully in, I guess you could call it pre-spoiler season, because they officially start next Monday, but Wizards decided to break their silence on the apparent leaks that we saw a couple months ago. If you were on Imgur or any Facebook group that was, you know, Magic related, you probably saw the very blurry cell phone-esque picture of what looked like uncut foil sheets of Ixalan and a couple of more close-up shots that made the cards a little bit more easy to read. But Wizards has finally broken their silence on what actually happened here. And as it turns out, it was an actual theft. A temporary employee at one of the Cartamundi printing houses actually managed to walk out the front door, past security, past everybody else working that night, with a roll of uncut cards under their hand. How does that happen? I mean, these things are pretty obvious. You know, what do you do with that roll of cards? Whatever. It doesn't matter how it happened. The fact is that it did happen. And so we can remember back to, you know, when Battle for Zendikar started getting spoiled. You know, we had the Judge debacle that broke. New Phyrexia got completely leaked months in advance of its release due to Lotus Noir, a French Magic magazine, actually getting the God Book weeks in advance to publish, you know, potential decks. And so it's pretty common to have this kind of thing happen to Wizards as of late, which really sucks. I mean, I don't like spoiler. I don't like leaks, but they give me something to talk about. But at least these leaks are now official, and we can openly talk about them. Because what Wizards did, instead of hiding it, they decided to spoil every card that got leaked on those sheets. And that's what we're going to dig into today. So this all broke on Monday. So we actually have some cool new rules changes, all the mechanics for Ixalan, some returning and some brand new, and a bunch of cards to look at as well. So this is going to be super sweet. I'm already getting super hyped for Ixalan. It is dinosaurs and pirates and merfolk and vampires and just, it's crazy. And Jace shows up for some reason. We'll get to him in a minute, though. But let's dig into our the first big spoiler. And of course, you know, one thing that everybody needs to have in their deck is lands. And we've got a great cycle returning in Ixalan. This is the return, and it'll be right up there in the corner of your screen if you're on YouTube. The return of the Buddy Lands, the core set Buddy Lands, Glacial Fortress, Rootbound Crag, Sun Petal Grove, Drowned Catacomb, Dragon School. Some of these things were legal for M10 through M13, I think. And as cool as the art was on those, these just look a little bit more badass. There's even a dinosaur that Dragon Skull Summit is made out of. Like, that's so cool. These lands are fantastic. They work really well with the lands we're going to have once Battle for Zendikar and Shadows of Innistrad rotate out. So these are always great to see. It's a great reprint. If you want to, you know, confuse new players, by all means, use the old copies. That's what I would do. But let's dig into mechanics, and let's look at our first mechanic. And this is a brand new mechanic for the Sun Empire, which are all of the dinosaurs on Ixalan. And this is the mechanic Enrage. And Enrage basically says, whenever this creature is dealt damage, you do a thing. So we have a Ripjaw Raptor here. It's a 2 green-green for a 4/5 rare creature dinosaur with Enrage. Whenever it's dealt damage, you draw a card. That's pretty sweet. So we've already gotten one pseudo-punishment mechanic in Afflict, there we go. And now we're getting more punishment mechanics. So the question is, you know, do you block the Riptide Raptor? Well, probably. It's a 4/5. It's huge. It's going to kill you. You know, or do we get maybe like a pinger in the set that's going to allow us to really drive some value off of this guy? Or maybe we're main decking like Sweltering Suns to Wrath of the Board and draw a card at the same time. Very, very cool stuff. So we have ones that deal damage, one that draw cards, and I'm sure we'll get a whole, you know, plethora of different dinosaurs that have different effects like this. And I'm very excited to see just what we get from the Sun Empire, if you will. And these, of course, are also in all of the Naya colors, red, green, and white. So very, very cool. If you like aggressive decks, keep an eye out for Ripjaw Raptor and his other dinosaur friends. Super, super cool. Next up, we have the Brazen Coalition and the Raiding Pirates, and I love pirates. And our first mechanic for the Pirates, the Brazen Coalition, I don't know how they came up with that name, is a returning mechanic, Raid. And this was first seen back in Khans of Tarkir, and it basically says, if you attack the creature and then you play this guy, you do a thing. So in Deadeye Tormentor's case, whenever you and have it enter the battlefield, and if you attack the creature this turn, target opponent discards a card. Pretty sweet mechanic right there, and we've already seen some that loot, that create... We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, Raid's a great mechanic. It's very, very flavorful, especially on pirates. I mean, this just seems like a, you know, match made in heaven for these kinds of creatures. Deadeye Tormentor, of course, 2 and a black for human pirate common, 2/2. Solid little draft playable, and as long as we get some good fixing, you know, that isn't at the rare level like the buddy lands are, I'm really hoping we get to see the full 3-color tribal decks that we can possibly see here, with the dinosaurs being Naya, the pirates being Grixis. I'm hoping we get to see the full run of these things. So if we get some common dual lands, that would be great, so we can play all of these sweet effects. The pirates also have one more trick up their sleeve, because what good would a pirate be without his treasure? And so we have Prosperous Pirates. This is a 4 and a blue, 3/4 human pirate at common. And whenever it enters the battlefield, create 2 colorless treasure artifact tokens with sacrifice this after tapping it, and add a mana of your any color to your mana pool. So these are Lotus Petal effects, which is pretty sweet. Now, a 5 mana, 3/4, that's going to ramp you to 7 on your next turn? Or no, 8. That's insane. So maybe these massive dinosaurs we've already seen so far, not so unfeasible. But yeah, I am super excited about these treasure makers. And there's one in particular that I think is actually modern playable. And we'll probably talk about that one in a couple of weeks when we do the full spoiler review. But it's also in the running of my favorite card in the set so far. But yeah, pirates and treasure and raiding, it's literally perfect. Like, nothing could be better about these pirates at all. Just absolutely fantastic. So, and of course, we also have merfolk that live on Ixalan, and these are part of the River Heralds. Again, I don't know where these names are, but they bring along the mechanic Explore, which feels a lot like a Hearthstone thing, so maybe we're coming full circle on that, I don't know. But we have Tishana's Wayfinder here. 2 and a green gets you a merfolk scout at common. It's a 2/2, and when it enters the battlefield, you explore. And to explore, you roll the top card of your library and put that card into your hand if it's a land. Otherwise, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature and then put the card back on top or put it into your graveyard. So it's kind of like this pseudo-cycling scry kind of thing going on here. I'm really curious to see the full range of all the explore abilities and if this goes any deeper than just if it enters the battlefield, maybe when it attacks or something like that. I'm curious to see all of that. So hopefully we'll get to see some really cool explore mechanic cards and see just what the heck you do with a green merfolk. That's really weird. We also have the Legion of Dusk, which is a bunch of vampires, which obviously work with life manipulation mechanics, which is pretty cool if you ask me. And we also have another returning mechanic, and we've recently seen this one from Kaladesh. We've got vehicles coming back, because what good is a pirate who has a raid to go on and treasure to put in chests, so then you put it on a pirate ship? And this is the Twilight Legion Battleship, or as it's said here, Arcorazado de la Legion del Crepusculo. I like that name better personally. But yeah, we've seen this before. They're artifacts that become creatures when you crew them. This one has vigilance. It's a pirate ship. It's really cool. It's just, this whole set is just one giant flavor bonanza. And I love it. And we've also got one other returning mechanic. And I cannot believe that it's so elegant here. And I'm going to actually have to kind of readjust the display for this, because otherwise it's not going to look right. But we have double-faced cards returning. So here is Treasure Map, and this is a rare artifact for 2 generic mana, and you can pay 1 and tap it to scry 1. So look at the top card of your library, put it on the bottom of your library, or the top of your library. And then you put a landmark counter on Treasure Map. If there are 3 or more landmark counters on it, remove those counters, transform it, so we're flipping the card over again, and create 3 colorless treasure tokens, and that have the effect on them. And what the backside of Treasure Cove actually is pretty interesting because it's a land. And we're going to reveal it to you guys here real quickly. Look at that. Treasure Map becomes Treasure Cove, a land that taps to add for a colorless mana, and you can tap it and sacrifice a treasure and draw a card. That's really cool. There's a rumor going around that before the invocations, or the masterpieces, I should say, that are going to be in Ixalan, we're going to use this card frame. And I'm kind of glad they're not doing them because, to be honest, they were getting a little out of hand and kind of losing the special factor about them. But this is pretty cool. And if we see more of these, that's awesome. So that's Double Face Cards. Now, at the top of the show, I made mention that you're not special anymore, and I apologize, because you are special. But in the world of Magic, no one is truly special anymore, because Jace is back in all his glory. We thought we were done with him, but no. The Gatewatch lives on, for better or for worse. And this is Jace Cunning Castaway. One blue-blue gets you a super beefcake Jace. This art is ridiculous. And it's not a Planeswalker Jace anymore. This is a legendary Planeswalker Jace. Mythic rare, 3 loyalty. Plus 1, whenever one or more creatures you control deals damage to a player, then this turn, draw a card, and then discard a card. Sweet little loot effect in blue makes for a nice aggressive slant on the typical blue aggressive decks. Minus 2 creates a 2/2 blue illusion creature token with, when this creature becomes the target of a spell, sacrifice it. Note how that doesn't say ability. Typically, illusion creatures get sacrificed on spell or ability targeting, so these make these things a little bit more durable. It's the ultimate, though, and this is throwing literally years of Planeswalker rulings completely out the window. When those were first revealed in Lorwyn, the original Lorwyn 5, up until the change where the legend rule no longer applied, they're changing it again for Planeswalkers, and this has some really interesting implications moving forward for Magic in general. Minus 5, create 2 tokens that are copies of Jace Cunning Castaway, except they're not legendary. That's interesting. So all of a sudden you have 2 Jace Cunning Castaways, and you ultimate those, and you have 4, and so on and so forth. Interesting fact, this goes infinite with doubling season, and what you do with all those Jaces is really up to you, but you can probably figure it out. But here's what's going on here. They're changing the way the legendary works for Planeswalkers. Typically, it is if you play one Planeswalker, like a Jace the Mind Sculptor, and then play Jace Rinse Prodigy, and it flips into Tellbath Unbound, you have to sacrifice one of those Jaces because they cannot exist at the same time. That's out the window. So, much like you could have a Thalia Guardian of Thraben and a Guardian the Heretic Cathar on the board at the same time, you can now have Jace the Mind Sculptor, Jace Tellbath Unbound, Jace Unraveler of Secrets, Living Guild Pact, Balerion, Architect of Thought, literally all on the board at the same exact time, and nobody's going to bat an eye. That's a thing now. So that Gideon Treble deck that everyone's been laughing about in Modern, yeah, that's a thing. I have no idea what has prompted this, because this has got to be the most insane rules change ever, and the implications it has are massive. We're going as far back as Vintage. All of a sudden, these blue tempo decks can play Mind Sculptor and Vryn's Prodigy at the same time. Insane value. In Modern, we have Liliana of the Veil and Liliana the Last Hope in play at the same time, wreaking havoc. My theory, though, is since we're going back to Dominaria next year, is that we're going to have timeline splits again. And we're going to have versions of Planeswalkers fighting against their past and future selves, which would require us to have a change to the Planeswalker rule. And that's really, really cool. Now, I don't think we're going to see anything really play with this until we get to that point. So, like, the Vraska Planeswalker we're going to see in Ixalan, and the mysterious red-white Planeswalker probably won't play with this ruling just yet, but give it time, and we're going to see some really dumb stuff happen with Planeswalkers, and that's awesome. So, that's coming towards you guys. And that actually does it. This was quick. You know, a quick little rundown. getting ready for Ixalan Spoilers to finally kick off next week. And we're going to be digging into all the new spoilers. I can't wait to see, you know, all the mythic rares, which I've already seen a couple of them, and we'll save those for next week so we can look at the rest of the guys' input on those. I know that Steven's currently on his way to Bilbao for the GP, so he'll be back for that. Hopefully get the rest of the team on the show, and we can all dig into these spoilers, because this is going to be one insane set, and I cannot wait to see what comes with the rest of Ixalan. So, thank you for watching tonight. Thank you for listening over on the MTG Cast. Catch us every week over there. And you can also check us out on Facebook. Just look for the EOT Newsflash. Also on Twitter, at EOT Newsflash. Over on Twitch and YouTube, just look for the EOT Newsflash. Also look for mine and Steven's and Sean's streams. You can find us under Busted Sleeves, S. Bell Pierce, and EOT Newsflash. I will hopefully be drafting the newly revealed Modern Cube very, very soon. And also taking part in the Flashback Standard Gauntlet featuring World Wake and every Jace the Mind Sculptor deck ever created. I'm super excited for that. But yeah, until next week, guys. This has been fun. Thanks for watching. Y'all have a good night.